We're holding on Mem Vav Amud Beis, the fourth line from the bottom. We talked yesterday about Shmini Atzeres as it relates to the dinim of whether the Esrog is mutter to eat at that point or whether it's still osir. And then at the end, we talked about what about that there's a difference, of course, between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz in that regard, where in Chutz La'aretz you have the additional consideration of Sfeika D'Yoma, where after all, the eighth day of Sukkot is officially, potentially, the seventh day as well, which is why we have 2 days of Yom Tov. So now we're going to continue on that topic of Shmini Atzeres outside Eretz Yisrael as it relates to the dinim of the Sukkah. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Breder of Shmuel Bashilas Mishmei Derav, Shmini Sofek Shvi, Shmini Atzeres, which is officially a suffix of whether it's the seventh day. Now, we have to, when I say officially, I mean, I should mention, in the times of Amoraim, it wasn't just officially. Practically speaking, it was generally so, because they didn't know until the Shluchim actually showed up when how long Elul had been made, whether it was 29 or 30 days, and therefore they had a real suffix. Unless, as we'll talk about soon, unless there were great Talmid Chachamim who knew how to calculate when the moon would be visible, and therefore likely when Beis Din would be Mekadesh the Chodesh. But most people wouldn't. Nowadays, we do it nowadays. The Gemara tells us in Beitza, we're going to learn it in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, that we do it because of Minig Aveseinu B'Yadeinu, because since our ancestors did 2 days, then therefore we continue to do 2 days as well, even though, of course, now we know that Elul is 29 days. Anyway, so on that day, on Shmini Atzeres, which is the Suffolk, whether it's the seventh day, Shvi L'Sukkah U'Shmini L'Bracha. We treat it like the seventh day in that we sit in the sukkah as if it was still Hashanah Rabba, but we treat it like the eighth day as far as the bracha, namely that in davening. So we're going to see what it means as far as the bracha. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says we treat it like the eighth day for both purposes, which means, in other words, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't even need to sit in the sukkah. Well, so actually the Gemara is going to clarify what exactly they mean. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean? Shmini lazeh lazeh. So mesav kula almalei pligid yasvinan. So neither now Rav and Rabbi Yochanan do not disagree. Both of them agree you have to sit in the sukkah because, after all, the fact is you do have sfeika d'yoma. It might still be the seventh day of sukkahs, and daraisa you have to sit in the sukkah. Therefore, they would both agree that you have to sit in the sukkah shmini atzeres. Ki pligid levaruchis. The machloikas between them would be: do you make a bracha? Leishav basukkah? According to the opinion of Rav, that you treat it like the seventh day as far as Sukkah, then Rav would say that you actually make the bracha leishav basukkah as well. But according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that says that we treat it like the eighth day for both purposes, it means yes, we sit in the Sukkah, but we don't actually, the fact is, it is Shmini Atzeres, therefore we don't make the bracha on Sukkah, and so Rashi explains what the lozeh lozeh, number one, that we don't say leishav basukkah, number two, that we say Shmini Atzeres achagazeh in davening and in benching, rather than chagasukkah sazeh. Whereas according to Rav, you would actually say leishav basukkah, even though you're saying Shmini Atzeres achagazeh. Now, Tosfos mentions, so we're talking about then whether you sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and of course we're going to continue the discussion and come to a maskana soon, but we have the question, Tosfos says, why don't we say the same thing by lulav? The same way as we're saying by the sukkah, that you should sit in it on the eighth day, misafik, because it might be the seventh day, shouldn't we say the same thing by lulav? The reason is, Tosfos says, because after all, it is after all Yom Tov. The lulav really is muktzah. It's only, I mean, during the first days, it's not muktzah because it's needed for the mitzvah. Now, if they were to be masakin that you should take lulav on Shmini Atzeres, even without a bracha, it would look like you're treating the Yom Tov as minig chol. It would look as if you're treating the Yom Tov as if it was a weekday. You don't want to openly do that. The sukkah, it's not so obvious that you're sitting in there because you're required to. You could be sitting in there because it's nice weather and you enjoy sitting in the sukkah. So therefore, that would be a reason for the Chachamim to tell us that you should sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, whereas on the other hand, you're not going to bench on Lulav and Esrog. So far we're saying that Rav is saying you would sit in the sukkah and say leish v'sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, and Rabbi Yechanan is saying you would sit in the sukkah, you wouldn't say the bracha though. So Amar Rabbi Yosef. So who is the halacha like? So Rabbi Yosef says, "Nekoyti Rabbi Yechanan biyoncha." You should hold what Rabbi Yechanan is saying in your hand. In other words, not to say leish v'sukkah. And we can show that that's so. Rav Huna bar Bizna v'chol gdolei ador, because it happened once that Rav Huna bar Bizna and all the other great chachamim of that generation, iklu b'sukkah, b'shmini safek shvi, they came to a sukkah. They once happened to be in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, which is safek the seventh day, meisav habu yasvi baruchu leberichu, and they did exactly that. They sat in the sukkah. They didn't make the bracha. So you see, says Rabbi Yosef, that that's the correct thing to do. Gemara says, how is that a proof? The Dumas Viralahud commander Omar Kivin Shabirach Yemke Vidishin Shuvaini Mavarach. We learned yesterday in Machloikas about whether you make the bracha separately each of the 7 days of Sukkot or not, or is it? We had the opinion of Shmuel that said that Sukkot Yemecha, that once you made the bracha Leish Basukkah, the first day Sukkot, then that patterns all the other days. So how do you know that because they didn't make a bracha Shmini Atzeres shows that they hold like Rabbi Yechanan? Maybe they didn't make the bracha because they hold like Shmuel in that earlier machlokas, that once you made the bracha the first day, you don't make it any of the other days. The answer is Gemiri Dmei Afer Osu, because we know the Kabbalah, we learned from our Rebbeim, says Rabbi Yosef, that these Chachamim, Rav Huna bar Bizna and the rest of them, had come from the meadow, where their animals were grazing there, Rashi says. So therefore, throughout the entire sukkah, they did not have a sukkah over there. Tosfos explains that even though we learned in the first perek, it's not like it's impossible to build a sukkah out in the meadow. And in fact, in the first perek, we talked about a number of different kinds of sukkahs that you can be yotze with, one of them being sukkahs royim, a sukkah that shepherds previously made for themselves for shade, not for the sake of the mitzvah, but nevertheless, since it was made for shade, you can be yotze. Here, it so happens they didn't have one either. So therefore, in other words, Shmini Atzeres, at least on the pshat of the Gemara, is actually the first time that Yom Tov that they're sitting in a sukkah, and therefore, if they didn't make the bracha, then evidently that means that they hold that you don't make the bracha on Shmini Atzeres. So now the question that a bunch of Achronim have, the question, are you telling me that Rav Huna bar Bizna and Kol Gdolei Ador missed the mitzvah of sukkah, that entire sukkah? What's going on? So there's a half a dozen different answers that Achronim give. There is an interesting one that's brought in the name of Rav Chaim Berlin that says that the word over here in the Gemara is not supposed to be me'afer, but rather me'ifra. Ifra Hurmiz is mentioned in a number of places in Shas, was the mother of King Shabur, one of the kings of Persia. So he says what the Gemara really means to say is that these Chachamim had gone to Ifra Hurmiz, the queen mother, to talk with her on behalf of the Jewish people to cancel some gzeder that her son was going to do or whatever it is exactly. And therefore, so they were osif mitzvah during all that time, and therefore they, as we learned in the second parak, shulchi mitzvah, are potter from the mitzvah of sukkah. And that's how it happens that the entire sukkahs, they were not sitting in a sukkah because they didn't have one available to them while they were trying to get their audience with Ifra Hurmiz. That's one explanation. You have a number of other ones. Another one is the Oruch Haner says something similar, that although without having to change the girsa, that there may have been a shmad, there may have been a gzera in Pumbedisa, which is where these Chachamim lived, and therefore they had to run away to the meadow, and they didn't have a chance to build a sukkah over there. There was no material available there to build a sukkah on short notice. And the Ur Sameach has a very long, elaborate explanation. He explains like this. This that we said before, that we have to keep the second day Yom Tov in Chutzlar, it's because of Sfeika D'Yoma, the Gemara in Pesachim explains to us that actually, if you have a great Chacham who's able on his own to calculate when the moon would be visible and when not, so he knows, for example, the calculations in the Rambam and Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, and he's able to calculate for himself that the moon will have been visible, and therefore it's likely that Adam came on after the 29th, or the moon will not have been visible, and therefore necessarily that Beis Din had to make Elul 30 days. When you have a person who knows how to make such calculations, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that technically it's when he's in the city, he still has to keep the second day of Yom Tov, because in order not to create machloikas, because everybody else doesn't know that. And therefore, so he has to keep second day Yom Tov just like everybody else. But when he's out in the meadow, like these Chachamim were, then he doesn't, then he only has to keep the first day. So he develops a whole explanation along the lines of that that was the situation over here. And therefore, when they made the bracha on the first day, it does cover the first 7 days. Let's say, as the Gemara is saying over here, they do hold, like Shmuel, that once you make the bracha, it covers all 7 days. But it wouldn't cover the 8th day, because when they first made the bracha, as far as they knew, there's not going to be an 8th day, which is Suffolk Shvi. The 8th day for them is going to be 1 day Yom Tov, same as the first day Yom Tov was 1 day for them. Now, meanwhile, during Yom Tov, they came back to town, and then they have to keep second day Yom Tov, and then they have to keep Shmini Atzeres as Suffolk the 7th day, but nevertheless we're saying that they didn't make the bracha, not because and the reason wouldn't be because they made the bracha originally, because their original bracha wouldn't also cover that day. It must be it's because they hold that you never make a bracha Shmini Atzeres when it's a Suffolk the 7th day, even if you were in town the whole Yom Tov. So that's his explanation in a nutshell. Anyway. So we see from that story, says Rabbi Yosef, that you don't make the bracha on Shmini Atzeres, which shows that we should go like Rabbi Yechanan. Okay, that's one version of the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yechanan. Ikadamri, others say a different version. Baruchi kol la'amal loy pligi d'loy mevachinan. When it comes to making the bracha leishav asukah, there's no question you don't say it. And an interesting point is tackle why we shouldn't. If we're going to sit in the sukkah, why shouldn't we make the bracha leisha vasukkah on it? You're going to say it's because of a suffix, but we actually have. I mean, in general, Yom Tov Sheni is a suffix, and we still make the bracha on it. So there's a few different reasons that the Rishonim give why, what the svara not to make a bracha on what not to make a bracha leisha vasukkah. One of them is that since we're saying in davening and in kiddush Shmini Atzeres Achag Hazeh, then it would really contradict it to almost in the same breath, because right after kiddush you say Leisha Vasukah, to say almost right in the same breath Leisha, that Hashem gave us a mitzvah Leisha Vasukah, implying that you're treating it like the 7th day, would really contradict each other. So that's one reason why Taka not to say the bracha. Anyway, so in the second version, even Rav agrees that you don't say the bracha. So therefore, when Rav Huna bar Bizna and all the Gedolei Ador with him didn't say the bracha, that doesn't show that they held like Rav Yechanan. Maybe they held like Rav. Ki pligi lemeitav. The machlokas, Rav and Rav Yechanan, in the second version, would be, do you bechlal have to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, which is Suffolk the 7th day? Lamanda almost shiva la sukkah, according to Rab, who says that we treat it like the 7th day as far as sukkah, mesiv yesvinin. Then we do have to sit in the sukkah, because after all, it's suffix the 7th day. Lamanda almost shmini lazer lazer. Whereas if we say like Rabbi Yechanan that we treat it like the 8th day for both purposes, mesiv nami lo yesvinin, then we don't have to sit in the sukkah on shmini atzeres either, because of course the mitzvah of sukkah is only for the 7 days of sukkahs. And according to that version, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Nekot de Rabbi Yochanan v'yadach, still Rabbi Yosef says you should hold on to what Rabbi Yochanan says, which would mean that you don't have to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz La'aretz at all. Demara de Shmaita Mani, because after all, who's the one who's reporting this? Who's the one who's reporting in the name of Rab that according to the second version, you have to sit in the sukkah? That is Rabbi Yehuda Breid of Shmuel Bar Shivas. And Roshmini Suffolk Shvi Levam is Sukkah Yosef. We see that this Rabbi Yehuda himself would sit outside the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So there, and yet we're understanding in the second Lashon that according to Rav, you do need to sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So therefore, if Rabbi Yehuda himself, who quoted the statement in the name of Rav, he himself is sitting outside the Sukkah, then you see that he doesn't follow what he taught us in the name of Rav, showing that he himself knows that Rav changed his mind or something, and therefore that the halacha should be like Rabbi Yechanan. However, the Gemara says not so. The Hilchasa, the bottom line halacha is Mesav Yesvin and Baruchi Lemevarchinan. We do in fact follow what would be Rabbi Yechanan's opinion in the second version and Rav's opinion in the first version, which is that you it would be Rabbi Yochanan's opinion in the first version and Rav's opinion in the second version, rather. Mesav Yesvinan, we sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz La'aretz, Boruchi Lo Mevarchinan, but we don't say the bracha Leishav HaSukkah for the reasons that we said a couple of minutes ago. L'maisa, there are actually a number of different minhagim in that. There are some people who actually have the minhag not to, even though the Gemara is saying that you sit in the sukkah, there are some people who have the minhag taka not to, for various reasons. But the majority is that you do sit in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, but even within that, there are different minhagim. There's a minhag that the Torah brings, for example, that some people would sit in the sukkah only by day, not by night. The Torah himself disagrees with that, because after all, the Gemara over here doesn't make any such distinction. But different achronim find ways to justify that minhag, and you do have some people that do that. So by night, they make kiddush and eat indoors, and by day, they eat in the sukkah. Some people have the minhag that they only make kiddush and eat a little mezonos or something in the sukkah, and then they go and have the rest of the meal inside the house. And then we have on minhag chabad, and some other groups have the same minhag, is that you eat everything on Shmini Atzeres in the sukkah, night and day, and you treat it with all the we treat it with the full stringency of sukkah during the first 7 days as well. We're the same way as our minhag is that during the first 7 days we don't even drink water outside the sukkah. So it is on Shmini Atzeres. The sole difference for us is that we don't make a bracha on Shmini Atzeres. Worth mentioning in that connection, when the Rebbe had his heart attack in Lamed Ches, that was on Shmini Atzeres night. And still, they wanted the Rebbe to they wanted to make kiddush and have the Rebbe be able to eat or drink something, and he wouldn't, and he insisted on going to the sukkah and making kiddush for himself and the Rebbe, even though under the circumstances. So that's our minhag that we do everything in the sukkah. There is a further discussion actually among the achronim. Those who have the minhag to sleep in the sukkah, which as we've talked about before is not our minhag anyway, but do they sleep in the sukkah? Shmini Atzeres, there are those that argue that maybe not, because that would already be making it more like a weekday, because then that would be making it more like one of the days of sukkahs. More openly, when it comes to eating in there, you could say, like Tosfos is saying, that it's a more comfortable place to eat, and therefore you're eating over there. But when it comes to sleeping, not necessarily are you able to say that. So many people, even those who have the minhag to eat in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, still don't sleep there. Okay. Going on to a related topic. So we talked about Shmini Atzeres as it relates to the mitzvah of the sukkah. Let's talk in general about Shmini Atzeres, about some other dinim of what we do on it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oimrim Zman B'Shmini Shochag, we say Shachyonu on Shmini Atzeres, Ve'enemim Zman B'Shvi Shal Pesach, but we don't say Shachyonu on Shvi and Achron Shal Pesach. Ve'amar Rabbi Levi B'Chama, Ve'itemir B'Chama B'Chanina, Teda, you can prove that this is so, that you should say Shechiyonu on Shmini Atzeres. It is considered Sharei Cholok Gimel Dvarim, because after all, it's different than the rest of Sukkahs in three things. The Sukkah, number one, as far as the Sukkah, that, okay, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't sit in the Sukkah at all on Shmini Atzeres, and in Chutz La'aretz, as we just said, you don't make the Bracha. So that's one distinction. Number two, of a Lulav, you don't take Lulav, the lulav. Number two, you don't take lulav on Shmini Atzeres, and as we just said, a reason for that is because since the lulav essentially would be muktzah on Yom Tov, and the Chachamim didn't want to make an exception for that on Shmini Atzeres, because that would be blatantly showing that you're treating it like one of the days of Sukkot, and you don't want to do that. The nisuch hamayim, and the third thing is, which we're going to talk about in the next couple of blocks, is the nisuch hamayim that they did in the Beis Mikdash, where they only did that the first 7 days of Sukkot. So for all those reasons, Shmini Atzeres really is a separate Yom Tov, and therefore you should say Shechiyonu on it, just like you say on any other Yom Tov. Now, what about Ulur of Yehuda? Now, we're going to learn in a Mishnah tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that says B'loig Hoya Menasech Kol Shmoina, that the Mishnah says over there that they used a pitcher that held 3 lugim of water and poured it on the Mizbeach for the 7 days of Sukkot, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on both points. He says it wasn't 3 lugim, it was 1 lug, and it wasn't for the 7 days, it was for the 8 days. So he holds that they did nisuch hamayim on the 8th day as well. Fine, harei cholok bebeis dvarim. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, though, the 8th day is different as far as sukkah and lulav, so that's still reason enough to consider it a separate Yom Tov and to say Shechiyonu. So the question is, yihochi shvi shal pesach nami, harei cholok v'achilas matzah. Well, in that case, isn't there a distinction when it comes to Shvi Shal Pesach as well, that you have a distinction as far as that you don't have to eat matzah? We learn in a Braisa, we've learned it previously in Norma Sechta, we learned it at the end of Pesachim, that only the first night of Pesach that you have a mitzvah to eat matzah, the requirement to eat matzah. So the rest of the days is only reshus. So there you have a distinction between Shvi'i Shel Pesach and the beginning of Pesach. Why isn't that enough of a reason to say Shehecheyanu? The answer is, the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta. What kind of a comparison is that? Hosam mi laila choluk mi yoim eini choluk. Let's consider that distinction is between the first night of Pesach and Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Not, there's no distinction between the first day. The first day of Pesach also, you're not, strictly speaking, required to eat matzah. You're not allowed to eat chametz, of course, but you don't have to. I mean, you have a mitzvah of eating matzah just because you have lechem mishnah. Fine, but that's a side thing. The point is, from the point of view of the mitzvah of Pesach, you don't have a particular mitzvah to eat a kezias of matzah like you do by night. So the distinction is only between the first night and the seventh day. Hocha to the miyom nami cholov. Here, the distinction that we're saying as far as sukkah and lulav is between the eighth day of sukkah and the first day of sukkah, where the first day you're still sitting in the sukkah and the first day you're taking the lulav. So that's so when it comes to Shvi'i Shel Pesach, there's no distinction between the seventh day of Pesach and the first day of Pesach. There's a difference between the first night of Pesach, but not the first day. And a few other answers. Ravina Omar. Ravina says there's another point to consider. Zeh cholok mishalafpanav, zeh cholok mishalafneipanav. The difference is, Shmini Atzeres is different than the day before it. The day before it is the seventh day of Sukkot. There you're still taking lulav. There you're still taking sukkah. All of a sudden comes Shmini Atzeres and you're not doing either of those things. Whereas when it comes to Shvi'i Shel Pesach, as far as the fact that you're not required to eat matzah, it's true you're not required to on the seventh day, but you're not required to on the sixth day either, or the fifth day, or any of the days after the first night. So therefore, that's another reason to say that Shvi'i Shel Pesach should not really be considered a separate Yom Tov. It's not different than the days right before it. And Omar Papa, or a Papa Omar, another explanation. Let's look at the Korbanos of Sukkot versus the Korbanos of Shmini Atzeres. Each of the 7 days of Sukkot, you have many Parim. We're going to learn in the next Perek, towards the end of the Masechta, Be'ez Hashem, about the sequence of Korbanos during the 7 days of Sukkot. So we have on the first day, they had 13 Parim, the second day, 12, the third day, 11, etc., working down to 7 on Hashanah Rabbah. But each day, you have multiple Parim. Whereas on Shemini Atzeres, you only have one par echad ayel echad. So it's not part of the same sequence. So therefore, that's another reason to consider it a separate thing, a separate Yom Tov, and therefore that deserves its own Shehecheyanu. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, there's another distinction. When it comes to each of the other days of Sukkot, the expression is, so you have the describe the korbanos of the first day of Sukkot, then you have uvayom hasheni parim bnei bakar shnei maser, uvayom hashlishi parim ashtei maser, uvayom harevi, etc. Each one is tied to the previous one with a vav, and then it comes to Shmini Atzeres, and it doesn't say uvayom bayom hashmini atzeres tiyalachem. So therefore, that's another reason to say that Shmini Atzeres should be considered something separate, and therefore that it deserves its own shechion. Rav Ashi Yomar, yet another one. Rav Ashi says, "Hacha k'siv kamishpat, hasam k'siv kamishpat tam." Another distinction is that let's focus specifically on the seventh day of Sukkot. So Tosfos points out most of the ones that we've been talking about so far were showing how Shmini Atzeres is different than every other day of Sukkot. Now we're going to show how there's specifically a distinction made between Shmini Atzeres and the day before, the seventh day of Sukkot. Namely, by the korbanos of most of the days, it finishes off that milvad erlas atomid. What do you have over there? What's the lashon over there? Minchasim and eskeim laporim la'elam v'lakvasim v'mispardim. Most of the days it finishes off kamishpat. When it comes to Hashanah Rabbah, when it comes to the seventh day, instead it finishes off kamishpat tom, and then Shmini Atzeres it's back to saying kamishpat. So kamishpat tom implies the rule of all the korbanos that have been mentioned until now. And the seventh day is like completing a section of korbanos. On the seventh day, you bring in korbanos, kimishpatam, according to the same rules that you brought throughout the whole Yom Tov. Now, on the eighth day, then it doesn't say kamishpatam, it says kamishpat, implying that it's a separate thing. So that's another reason. So we have five. So we have five reasons over here to why to say that that Shmini Atzeres should be considered a separate thing. We have that you have mitzvahs that apply during the rest of Sukkot that don't apply on Shmini Atzeres, Sukkah and Lulav, and according to the Chachamim Nisuch HaMayim, the fact that it's different not only from the fact that it's different even from the day before it, unlike Shvi'i Shel Pesach. The fact that it's different, well, the fact actually that it's different from everything except the first night, unlike Shvi'i Shel Pesach is different only than the first night. The fact that it's different even from the day before it, the fact that you have a completely different sequence of korbanos, one par instead of multiple parim, the fact that it says bayoim rather than uvayoim, and the fact that it says kimishvatam on the seventh day, which implies that we're finishing off over there, though all of those have the same rule, whereas Shmini Atzeres has a new rule of its own. So all of those are reason to consider Shmini Atzeres a separate yomtiv and to say shechiyonu on it, unlike Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Okay. So the Gemara says, lema misayale, can we say that we can support what Rabbi Yochanan is saying from a braisa? So we had all this logic to show that you should do that, but we'd like to, instead of just having logic, we'd like to find an actual explicit braisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. So we have a braisa that says, ha-porim ha-elim ha-kvasim ma'akmin zeseh, the porim and elim and kvasim that are brought each of the 7 days of Sukkot are ma'akiv one another, meaning, let's say, on the first day, you have to have 13 porim, 2 elim, 14 kvasim. So all of those are ma'akiv one another. If you don't have enough parim or you don't have enough elim or whatever, then you can't bring the musafim, the Braisa says. But Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a parim ain't ma'akvin zeseh. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says the parim are not ma'akiv one another. Shari mismat and rahochin. After all, we see that each day of Sukkot you have fewer parim. So therefore, obviously, the Torah is not so ma'akvid on the number of parim. So fine, Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree that elim, every day you have 2 elim. Every day you have 14 kvasim. So fine, if you only have 13 kvasim, then you have a problem because there's no day when the Torah says to bring 13. But if you only have on the first day 12 parim, let's say, instead of the 13 that you're supposed to have, big deal. The next day, 12 parim is correctly the number that you're supposed to bring. So even today, it shouldn't be a problem to leave one out. Omru loy, and the Chachamim answered him, v'alekulon mismatin v'hochon v'shmini, by your logic, all of them become less on Shmini Atzeres. On Shmini Atzeres, you have one par, one aisle, and 7 kvasim, so the numbers of all of them go down. Omalahan, and he answers them, Shmini, Rega Bufnei Atzmei, who, listen, Shmini Atzeres is a yomtiv of its own. So that's what we're bringing as an apparent support of Rabbi Yochanan, that he's calling it Rega Bufnei Atzmei, and he's going to go on to say that there is a specific thing, a bracha, in which it's different. But first, we'll finish off the braisa. By the way, the Ritva points out, now, the Chachamim didn't answer him on that, because the fact is they do agree it's Rega Bufnei Atzmei. Nevertheless, they did, and therefore the Gemara can bring it as a proof. Nevertheless, they're saying, fine, it's Rega Bufnei Atzmei. The fact is, in terms of the number of korbanos, you see that all of them go down, and yet that's not reason enough to say that they shouldn't be ma'akiv one another. So therefore, there should be no difference between the parim and the other ones. But they do agree with Rabbi Yehuda's fundamental point, which is that Shmini is Rega Bufnei Atzmei, which is why the Gemara is bringing it as a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda continues, how, in what ways is Shmini Rega Bufnei Atzmei? Shekashem sheshivas yimei achag tu'unin korban v'shiru bracha b'lina. Just like each of the other 7 days, just like the first 7 days of Sukkot, each one you have a korban. You have a specific korban that the Torah says to bring. Each one requires shir. Each one has a special shir shoyim, not the regular weekday shir shoyim. So Rashi brings from the Gemara that we're going to learn in the next perek, Be'ez Hashem, that they had a specific, the shir shoyim for each of the 7 days of Sukkot were all on the theme of giving matnas aniyim. They were all various parts of Tilim that talk about the importance of being fair to the poor people and giving them their leket and shikha and meiser and so forth, because this is the season to do it. This is the season when you're gathering in all your produce from the field where it's been drying all summer, and therefore now is the time to be giving Matnas Aniyim. So the 7 days of Sukkot, they had a sequence of Shir Shoyim that were all on that theme of being honest and treating the poor people fairly. Whereas Shmini Atzeres is not in that sequence anymore. Shmini Atzeres, they didn't continue that sequence. They had a Kapitel Tehillim on a completely different theme. Rashi says, I don't know what it is. Tosfos brings from Masechtas Sofrim that in Shul they had a minute to say Lam Natseach Al Hashminis, which is Kapitel Yud Beis, and therefore Tosfos says that may have been the one in the Bais Mikdash as well. There are a few Kehillos nowadays that do that on Yom Tovim say a special Shir Shoyim instead of or in addition to the one for the week, they also say one for appropriate for the Yom Tov, and in those Kehillos they talk to say Kapitel Yud Beis on Shmini Atzeres. Anyway, Tosfos later on at the end of the sugya gives a different explanation also that what it is the Gemara is going to tell us later on Daf Nun Hei what all these Shir Shoyims were for the 7 days of Sukkot. Each one of them many of them were not a whole kapitel, many of them were only a half a kapitel. So they would do a half a kapitel on one day and a half on another day. Whereas on Shmini Atzeres, they're doing a full kapitel. So in that sense, Shmini Atzeres has a shir of its own, not like the ones from the previous 7 days. Next, Rabbi Yehuda continues that Shmini Atzeres also requires bracha, and we're going to talk about in the Gemara soon what we mean by bracha. And Velina, and also Shmini Atzeres, you have to stay overnight in Yerushalayim and only leave the next morning. So Rashi explains, in other words, when it comes to Yom Tov, of course you need Lina because you anyway can't travel on Yom Tov. So what it is like this, rather. The Pasuk tells us after you come to the Bais Mikdash to bring a korban, ufanisa baboyka, you should turn around in the morning, v'halachta loyalecha, and go home to your tents, meaning to your houses. Now, obviously, you're not traveling on Yom Tov itself. You can't travel outside the Tum. So necessarily, it means that you're traveling on the first day Chol HaMoed. So that tells us, therefore, that you have to stay in Yerushalayim overnight after you brought your korban. So that teaches us that concept. So now, in general, then, if a person didn't bring his chagiga on one particular day of Yom Tov, whatever day he brought it, he has to stay over that night and he can only leave the next morning. So that applies to Shmini Atzeres as well. Rabbi Yehuda is telling us. Tosfos has a bit of discussion about the pros and cons of that. I mean, after all, then in that case, that's not really something unique to Shmini Atzeres. That's a general rule that whenever a person brings a korban, they have to stay overnight. There's nothing special about Shmini Atzeres in that regard. And so Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of that. One possibility is maybe, in fact, you're not necessarily bringing the korban on Shmini Atzeres itself. Suppose, for example, that you sent the korban ahead, and now let's say that you had them be makriv for you on Hashanah Rabbah, and it's a shlomim, and you can eat it for 2 days, so you're still eating the meat of it Shmini Atzeres day. So therefore, you can have a scenario where you're not actually bringing a korban on Shmini Atzeres itself, and yet the Torah is telling you that you need lina. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, so Shmini Atzeres has all those special things. So now, one of the things he mentioned is bracha. So what do we mean by bracha? My lab's man. On the face of it, he means that you have to say Shechiyonu. So that would be an actual proof from a braisa for Rabbi Yochanan, not just the various svaris that we said before of why Shmini Atzeres should be considered a separate Yom Tov, but now we'd have an explicit braisa backing him up. And again, like the Ritva says, like we said before, even the Chachamim would agree with the fundamental point Rabbi Yehuda is making. They would that Shmini Atzeres is a regal with Natsmai as far as these things. They would just say that's not reason enough to say that the Purim should be any different than any of the others because they say the fact is you have back-to-back Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, and you see that on Shmini Atzeres, the numbers of Purim and Elim and Kvasim all go down. And yet that's not enough reason to say that on the other days, therefore, if you don't have all of them, you should be able to bring only some of them. Anyway, so when the Braisa says bracha, on the face of it, it means Shechiyonu. The answer is like, not necessarily does Rabbi Yehuda mean that. He might mean Birkas HaMazon U'Tefillah. He might mean that you make a difference that up until now, you said Chag HaSukkos HaZeh, and now you're saying Shmini Atzeres HaChag HaZeh. Not necessarily is he saying anything about saying Shechiyonu. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra.
Yeah, in fact, now that we think of it, it's logical to say that that's what Rabbi Yehuda is referring to. The e sakodadach zman, because if you were talking about, if it was actually talking about Shechionu, zman kol shiva mi'ika, you don't say Shechionu all 7 days of Sukkot. You say it on the first night, and okay, in Chutzlar, it's all, in Chutzlar, it's also on the second night, and that's that. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Yehuda is mentioning things that apply to all 7 days. He says that his expression is Sheshiva Simei Chag to Unin Korban Veshiru Bracha Valina. So obviously, therefore, Bracha can't refer to Shech Yonu because you don't say Shech Yonu on the subsequent days of Sukkot, only on the first day. So obviously, that would show us that our attempted proof of Rabbi Yochanan is incorrect, and that in fact this Braisa is talking about the Nusach Shmini Atzeres Chagazeh rather than the Bracha Shech Yonu. And the Gemara says, okay, hold on, Kasha, that's not such a problem. You still could understand that it's referring to Shech Yonu. The Eloi, Baruch Ha'idna, Mevaruch L'macher, the Yom Ha'achrina. Because what would happen if a person didn't say Shech Yonu the first night of Sukkot for whatever reason? So he could say it the second night. If he didn't say it the second night, then he could say it the third night, etc. The first time he has the opportunity to say Shech Yonu, then he would say it. So in that sense, Shech Yonu is Shayach to all 7 days. All it is most of the time, you usually only say it the first day because that's, you say it then, and then that patters the rest of Yom Tov. But not that the other days, you couldn't potentially say it if you didn't say it the first day. Gemara says, 1 second. Mekol makom koisbeina. But what do you mean? How would you say Shech Yonu during Chol HaMoed? Let's say, like we said, let's say you missed saying it on the first day, Yom Tov. You need a cup of wine to be able to say Shech Yonu over. You're not, lav dafka, do you have a cup of wine on Chol HaMoed? There's no mitzvah to make Kiddush on Chol HaMoed. Lema Messiah Leila of Nachman. In that case, if we understand the Braisa that way, and we're going to say that Bracha in the Braisa really means Shech Yonu, and we're going to say therefore that Shech Yonu is Shayach each of the 7 days because conceivably you could say it any time during, you could say it the first opportunity during the 7 days that you have that you could. On the face of it, that means even if you don't have a cup of wine, well, Lema Messiah Leila of Nachman. Should we say then that with this Braisa we can support what Rav Nachman is saying? To Amar Rav Nachman, Zman Omer Afilu Bashuk. Rav Nachman says that the bracha Shech Yonu, you don't dafka for Yom Tov, you don't dafka have to say over a cup of wine. You could even say it even if you're walking in the street. So therefore, so according to that, you taka don't need a kois, and that's the point. The e amad in and kois. If you're going to say you need a kois ko yoma mi'ika, is there a cup of wine necessarily every day of Chol HaMoed? Lav dafka. So therefore, that would show that this Braisa supports Rav Nachman that Shech Yonu does not intrinsically require a kois yayin in order to say it. And most is not necessarily is that a proof. Dilma de'ikra like kois. Okay, the Braisa could be talking about, let's say it happens that you got a hold of a cup of wine one of the days of Chol HaMoed, and let's say it also happened that previously during Sukkot you had not made the bracha Shech Yonu. Then at that point you would take the cup. You'd say Bo Pri Agafen and Shech Yonu and drink. Not necessarily does that prove what Rav Nachman is saying, that Shech Yonu can be said without a curse. Nevertheless, even though we're not proving what Rav Nachman is saying, we haven't disproved it either. The Gemara in Eruvin has a sugya that mentions that statement of Rav Nachman, and in fact the halacha is like him. So what we do, so most of the time, of course, we're not using that, because most of the time we just say Shech Yonu doing Kiddush. One time of the year when we do apply this Din of Rav Nachman is on Yom Kippur night. We still have to say Shech Yonu on Yom Kippur. It's a Yom Tov like any other, but of course we don't have a kois because you're not making Kiddush. So that's when we say it in Shul after Kol Nidre. We're basing ourselves on what Rav Nachman is saying, that saying Shech Yonu does not require a kois yayin. In any case, the point is that so we can't really prove from this braisa one way or the other. Maybe when Rabbi Yehuda says the word bracha, he's referring to Shech Yonu, and the Chachamim implicitly are agreeing with him. So therefore, that would prove Rabbi Yochanan's point that you do say Shech Yonu on Shmini Atzeres, but not necessarily. Maybe when Rabbi Yehuda says bracha, he's only referring to the nusach of Shmini Atzeres Achagazeh, and in that case, there's no proof one way or the other. Again, though, we haven't disproved Rabbi Yochanan either, and the halacha is indeed like him based on the svaris that we said on Amud Aleph of why we consider. The Gemara is going to mention at the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara is going to tell us what the halacha is.
So, don't we say that since the Shmini Atzeres is a separate Yom Tov, In any case, we should say Shechiyanu.
Well, that was the argument that we said on Amud Aleph, but nevertheless, we still want a solid proof for that. So far, we don't have a solid proof. We have a svara to say that there's a number of ways in which Shmini Atzeres is a separate Yom Tov. But after all, we see that Shvi Shal Pesach and Achron Shal Pesach, you don't say Shechiyanu. So therefore, maybe there would be a certain, maybe conceivably, you could say that you only say Shechiyanu maybe by the beginning of a season of Yom Tov or something. And therefore, like Shmini Atzeres, even though it is La Halacha considered a separate Yom Tov, maybe nevertheless, we still wouldn't say Shechiyanu. So far, we have Rabbi Yochanan telling us that you do. We have Svaris in his favor. We have a Braisa, which maybe supports him, maybe not. We're going to continue. We're going to resume that discussion at the bottom of the Amud. But meanwhile, we're going to digress to explain further about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now, we said that one of the four things that Rabbi Yehuda said that you have to do, Shmini Atzeres, is lina, that you have to stay over in Yerushalayim the night after Yom Tov and only leave the next day. So the Gemara asked, Savar Rabbi Yehuda Shmini Ton lina? So you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shmini Atzeres, necessarily you have to stay over in Yerushalayim, you can't leave Matzah Yom Tov. Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, minayin lePesach Sheni sheinah torun lina. How do we know that if you come to your Yerushalayim for Pesach Sheni, you don't have to stay overnight? You can leave the night. You can leave already the night. You bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. You eat it that night, the night going into the 15th of Iyar. And as soon as you're done eating, you're allowed to leave. You don't have to wait until the morning of the 15th. So how do we know that, says Rabbi Yehuda? Shenema, because the Pasuk says about the Korban Pesach, it says, "Ufanisa baboker v'halach d'loy alacha." You should turn around in the morning and go to your tents, meaning to your houses. And then the next Pasuk says, "Uksiv sheishes yomim teichel matzis." For 6 days, you should eat matzis, which means, es shetoon shisha toon lina. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that smichus teaches us that when you need to follow the Korban Pesach with 6 more days of eating matzah, then that's the kind that requires lina. As she'ena ton, she she'ena ton lina. If it doesn't require 6 days afterwards, then it doesn't require lina. Now, and Pesach Sheni doesn't require 6 days because Pesach Sheni is only 1 day. So therefore, it doesn't require lina. Now, when he's saying that, my love, lam oti nami shmini shochad. Now, on the face of it, Shmini Atzeres is in the same category. Shmini Atzeres is a 1 day Yom Tov, not a 7 day Yom Tov. So, on the face of it, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that only a 7 day Yom Tov requires lina, not a 1 day Yom Tov. So that would mean that Shmini Atzeres, according to him, doesn't require lina. But in the Braisa that we had before, on Amud Aleph, he said that the Shmini Atzeres does require lina. So, what is it? So the answer is lavam oti Pesach Sheni dekavasei. No, all Rabbi Yehuda is telling us is that from that pasuk we're learning only that Pesach Sheni itself is potter from lina. In other words, we're talking about dekavasei, which is like it, because in other words it's like it in the sense the pasuk is telling us about regular Pesach, and therefore it's telling us. But you should know, even though Pesach Sheni is like Pesach Rishon in some ways, here is a way in which it's different. Pesach Rishon requires lina, Pesach Sheni does not. Whereas we're not, Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily telling us that the Pasuk is coming to exclude Shavuos and Shmini Atzeres. It's true that they're only 1 day each. Nevertheless, maybe they require lina according to him, so there's no contradiction. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hochi Nami Mistabra. In fact, that's logical, that Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to be Mamayat Shavuos and Shmini Atzeres. The Tanan. Because we learn in a Mishnah in Bikurim, which is Hazman Groma, this week is Parashas Kisavo, when we learn about the Bikurim. So the Mishnah in Bikurim says, Ha Bikurim Tu'unin Korban. When you bring Bikurim, you also have to bring with them a Korban Shlomim specifically, Rashi brings. The Shir, you also have the Levium sing Shira when the Bikurim are being brought. Now, usually, a Korban Yochid generally is not accompanied by a Shira. Generally speaking, only Korbanos Tzibur, you have the Tmidim, the Musafim, only then do the Levim sing Shira. So the Bikurim and the Korban that you bring together with the Bikurim is a rare example where you have for a Korban Yochid where the Levim sing also. Rashi brings from the Yerushalmi on Bikurim. There's no Bavli on Masechta Bikurim, just like there isn't on most of Seder Zeroyim, but there is Yerushalmi on the whole Seder Zeroyim, including on Masechta Bikurim. So the Gemara explains, so the Yerushalmi explains over there that since you have a Pasuk that it says about the Bikurim, you know, in this week's parasha, you have a Pasuk, the Samachta B'chol HaToiv, you should rejoice with all the goodness. So v'samachta refers to bring a korban shlomim, and tov refers to singing. And then the Gemara brings and Rashi quotes psukim where we see that v'samachta refers to shlomim and that tov refers to singing. So we couldn't require a korban shlomim together with them. Actually, the Mishnah describes over there were two types of korbanos that they brought. Number one, there were the shlomim that we're describing over here. They would decorate the baskets of bikurim with birds that they'd have hanging off the side, and those birds would be brought as oilus. So they had oilus and shlomim. But anyway. So they require a korban and shir, that Levim sing a shira. Specifically, the shira is Arimim Hashem Kidilisani, Kapitel Lamed of Tilim. Utnufa, the bikurim have to be waved, as we're going to see soon how we know that. The lina, and also the Mishnah says they also require lina, that you have to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. You can't just bring your bikurim and then immediately leave Yerushalayim. You have to stay over that night and only leave the next day. Now, man shamat le da'oma tnufa. Now, which Tana do we find that says that the bikurim require tnufa? Rabbi Yehuda. That is Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to show soon from a braisa. V'ka'oma to'un lina. And we see that Rabbi Yehuda also says that the bikurim require lina. Now, bikurim is not a seven-day thing. It's a one-day thing. And still, Rabbi Yehuda is requiring you to do lina. So obviously, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that only things that are 7 days require lina and not things that are 1 day. He's saying specifically, Pesach Sheni doesn't require lina because unlike Pesach Rishon, it's not followed by 6 days of eating matzah. But other occasions when you bring the korban, even though those occasions are only 1 day, namely when you bring bikurim or sukkos, Shavuos or Shmini Atzeres, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you need lina, and that's what he said on Amud Aleph, that it requires lina. Tosfos, by the way, gets into a discussion over here of when exactly was this tenufa, this that was saying that the bikurim had to be waived, when exactly was that done? He brings from Sifri that it sounds like there were two different points during the ceremony of bikurim when they would waive them. One when he's saying the psukim, Arami Eredavi, and a second time when he's bowing. But then Tosfos says maybe what Sifri means is not all bikurim require kriya. The Mishnah in bikurim mentions there are a number of scenarios where you don't say mikra bikurim, you're bringing bikurim, but you don't say mikra bikurim. One of them is, for example, if you bring them between Sukkot and Hanukkah. Another, and then the Mishnayos describe various other ones where you don't actually own the land, etc., etc. So then, in those cases, then you would wave it during when you're bowing afterwards. Otherwise, you would wave it during the kriya. So maybe there are two wavings, maybe only one. Tosfos says, and the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Bikurim that you only wave it once. Okay. Anyway. So where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda says that bikurim require tnufa? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, v'hi nachta izu tnufa. The pasuk described by bikurim, you put it down. That doesn't mean you put it down on the ground. It means that you wave it. What you have is in the psukim. It says the kohen should take the basket from your hand. V'hi nicha lifnei mizbach Hashem. He places it in front of the mizbeach. And then a few psukim later, after Arami Ovidovi and all those psukim, it says v'hi nachtoi. So that implies that you picked it up in between and you did tenufa. Ata omer zu tenufa. So you say that it means waving it. Oyena ela hanocha mamish. Maybe not. Maybe it just means putting it down. Maybe you just take it from the koyan and put it on the ground. No. Shu omer v'hi nichoi harei hanocha omer, because you already have. It said v'hi nichoi. So that was putting it on the ground. There'd be no reason to put it on the ground again. So necessarily, the word "behinachdoi" must mean that there was tenufa. So here, Rashi explains that because if you took it in between, means that you must have taken it in between for tenufa. There's a different place where the Gemara also brings this. There's a Gemara in Makos where it also brings this discussion about bikurim requiring tenufa, and Rashi gives a different explanation over there, and Tosfos brings it over here that the word "behinachdoi" can also be understood as related to the Shurish, Leif Nechei Esa'am, where Hashem tells Moshe, go lead the people. So therefore, Behinachta can actually mean to lead, to move the Bikurim in different directions, which is what Tenufa is. You wave it in six directions, like a lulav. So therefore, so we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need Tenufa for the Bikurim. So therefore, we can assume that the Mishnah that we just quoted from Bikurim that says that they require Tnufa is according to Rabbi Yehuda. That same Mishnah also said they require Lina. So that shows that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Bikurim require Lina, even though it's only a one-day thing. Verses 1, the Dilma of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah in Bikurim is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that it requires both Tnufa and Lina. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that it requires only Tnufa, not Lina. And after all, we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the Bikurim requires Tnufa, the Tanya. We learn in a Braisa that when the Pasuk says, V'loka ha-kayin atenem yajaka, when it says the Kayin should take the basket from your hand, limit ala bikurim should turn into Tnufa, dirav Elazar ben Yaakov. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, from those words, the Kayin should take it from your hand, implies that there was Tnufa being done. As the Gemara is going to explain in a second, how we get it from that. So we have two different Tanoim who hold that Bikurim required Tnufa, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. They're learning from different psukim, but fine. When we have a Mishnah, when we have a Stam Mishnah that says that Bikurim require, among others, Tnufa and Lina, we're assuming that that's according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that demonstrates that he holds that you have to do Lina, but maybe not. Maybe actually it could be only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And then not necessarily would we have a proof that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Bikurim require Lina, and by the same token, not necessarily would we have a proof that Rabbi Yehuda would say that Shavuos and Shmini Atzeres, which are one day Yomim Tovim, should require Lina. So we can't necessarily prove from that. Now, my time in the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, why does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that we get from V'loka HaKoyin Atenem Yadecha that it requires Tinufa? Because he says, Asya Yad Yad Mishlomim. We make a Gzeira Shava on the word Yad from Shlomim. Ksiv Hocha V'loka HaKoyin Atenem Yadecha. Here it says the Koyin should take the basket from your hand, Yadecha. Uchtiv Asam Yodav Tiviyena, Sisha Hashem. By Shlomim, it says his hands should bring the things that are going to be brought on Hashem's fire, meaning the chalev, together with the chaz of a shalik, which are waved from a shlomim, and so ma kan koyin afahalan koyin. So just like over here by Bikurim, the koyin is involved in the waving. The same way by the shlomim, the koyin has to be involved, because here it says v'loka ha-koyin. So therefore, it implies that the koyin does the tenuva. So the same thing by the shlomim, the koyin has to be involved as well. Umalahalan b'ilim afkan b'ilim. On the other hand, by the shlomim, it says. That by the shlomim it says that the owner does the tenufa, because yodav, his hands, meaning the hands of the person who are bringing the korban, waves the chaylev and the chaz of a shayk. So afkan bailim, the same way here also the owner has to be involved as well. Ha ketzad. So how do we do that? How do we have the koyin and the owner together do tenufa? Koyin maniach yode tachas yad bailim remaineth. The koyin places his hand underneath the hands of the owner and they do tenufa. Rashi explains. Now, what that means is the owner holds the edges of the basket, the top, the near the top. The Kohen puts his hands by the bottom of the basket. And that way, both of them are doing Tnufa together without each other's hands being in the way. Tosfos discusses, is that in fact the case? Or is it actually that the Kohen actually places his hand underneath the owner's hands? In other words, the owner is holding the basket on top of his hand. And then the Kohen places his hand underneath the owner's hands and they do Tnufa together. And Tosfos discusses, does that mean, would that work or would that be considered a chatzitza? Okay. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that you need Tnufa, so maybe he's the Tana of the Mishnah in Bikurim that says that you need Lina for Bikurim, not necessarily is it Rabbi Yehuda. So we can't really prove solidly one way or the other whether Rabbi Yehuda would say, so we can see that he says you need Lina by Shmini Atzeres, because he mentioned it on Amud Aleph, but on the other hand, not necessarily does he hold that every one-day thing, except for Pesach Sheni, requires Lina. Maybe he holds Bikurim require Lina, maybe not. Okay. Getting back now to the discussion about saying Shechyonu on Shmini Atzeres, my Havi Allah, what's the bottom line? Rav Nachman Amar Omrim Zman B'Shmini Shechag. So Rav Nachman says we do like Rav Yechanan that we do say Shechyonu on Shmini Atzeres. Rav Sheshes Amar Einam Zman B'Shmini Shechag. Rav Sheshes says you don't. The Hilchasa Omrim Zman B'Shmini Shechag. The halacha is that in fact we do say Shechyonu on Shmini Atzeres. and Tanya Kavaseh Rav Nachman. We learn a brisa like what Rav Nachman says and Rav Yechanan, that we do say Shechiyanu on Shmini Atzeres, because the brisa says Shmini Regobof Neatzmai Le'inin Pizar Kasham. That Shmini Atzeres is considered a Yom Tov of its own as far as six things where the acronym for them is Pizar Kashav. We learned about this in Yoma as well. Pious b'fnei atzmai. Number one, you have a pious of its own to determine which kohenim do which avodah. So during the 7 days of Sukkot, they don't need a pious because, as we're going to learn in the next perek, there were so many korbanos that each mishmar had a turn. Each day there were at least enough korbanos for the 24 mishmaros. They didn't have to have a pious which mishmar was going to do it. But on Shmini Atzeres, you only have 10 korbanos and you have 24 mishmaros, so they would have to have a pious of which one does which. Or second of all, Zman b'fnei atzmai, you say Shechiyanu, so there we have clearly the Braisa says that you say Shechiyanu. Regel b'fnei atzmai, it's also a regel of its own. So what does that mean? Rashi says means that you don't sit in the sukkah. Tosfos brings a few other explanations of what it means, regel b'fnei atzmai. One is that it requires lina, like we said before, that you have to stay over in your shalayim overnight. Tosfos also brings from Rabbeinu Hananel that it's considered a separate regal as far as the dinim of Avelus, where you have a Yom Tov cancels Shiva, and a Yom Tov can also either cancel Shloshim or reduce it by 7 days. So you have, for example, it describes in Moed Katan that if a person had a relative who passed away shortly before Sukkot, the first days of Sukkot cancel Shiva, and Shmini Atzeres cancels 7 days of the Shloshim, such that after Shmini Atzeres, he only has 9 more days that he has to keep of Shloshim. So that's another thing in which Shmini Atzeres is considered a regal of its own. The Ritzvah says yet another one. Also, let's say you have a person who became a ger during Sukkot, so you have a cotton who became bar mitzvah during Sukkot, he's going to be chayev in aliyah leregel on Shmini Atzeres separately, even though he wasn't chayev on the first days. Anyway, all of those are included in regel b'fnei atzmai. Korban b'fnei atzmai. Shmini Atzeres has a korban of its own. Like we said before, it's not part of the sequence of korbanos of Sukkot. Shira b'fnei atzmai. It has a separate shira of its own. Like we said before, according to Rashi, that it's not part of the sequence of the previous days, in that the previous days are talking about matnas aniyim, and this one is on a different topic. And according to Tosfos, that the other ones were only a half a kapitel, and this one is a full kapitel. And bracha b'fnei atzmai. And the sixth one is that it has a bracha of its own. So Rashi brings two explanations. One is that we say Shmini Atzeres Achagazeh, so a different nusach of the brachas. Another explanation is that on that day they would give a bracha to the king, as we find after the Chanukah Sabayis, where they gave a bracha to Shlomo HaMelech, like Baruch Hu HaMelech, before they left Yerushalayim to go back home. In any case, so we see from this braisa that zman is one of the six things in which Shmini Atzeres is different than the other days, and therefore, yeah, so you do in fact say Shechiyanu on Shmini Atzeres. Just to finish off, by the way, I forgot to mention before when we were discussing the matter of sitting in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, where again we said in particular our minhag is that we do the full thing of sitting in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, if we eat and drink everything in the sukkah. There's a sikha from the Friedrich Rebbe actually that talks about that, and we'll put to Diburim. Well, he says this, that we don't say a bracha, shows that the sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres is actually on a higher level. During the rest of the days of sukkah, during the first 7 days of sukkahs, the mitzvah of sukkah is connected with dibur. Now you have it goes even higher, and it's connected with machshava. There's also a sikha from our Rebbe where he talks about the idea that in a certain sense, the sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres accomplishes more than it did during sukkahs, in the sense that al derech like you have where Hashem says the mitzvahs midrabanan are more precious to me than the mitzvahs d'araisa. So the same thing, the fact that we do something that we're not fully required to al pi Torah, that we're doing it only because of suffix and still we're machmer in it to the same degree as we do the rest of sukkahs, that's more precious and that accomplishes much more lamaila than even sitting in the sukkah and making the bracha the rest of the days, which is a chiyuv d'oraisa.